See if you recognize this. I'm not the greatest. I'm the double greatest. I knock them out, and I choose which round I want to knock them out in. Who am I talking about? That's right. Cassius Clay, who later became Muhammad Ali, is really interesting in United States boxer. This guy was so cocky, he ended up as number one on the list of the cockiest athletes of all time. I can see it, right? You could probably see it as well. Well, I'm sure that we all can list off of names of actors or politicians or business leaders, athletes who were cocky and arrogant and boastful and prideful and who let their egos run away with them. You're probably thinking of some names right now. I can think of a few, maybe even a past president of the United States of America. Listen to these three questions that were asked of a group of men who allowed themselves to be carried away with their own self-importance. There's three questions that they were asked, and here's the first one. For who makes you different from anyone else? In other words, what makes you so special? The second question was, what do you have that has not been given to you? And the third question that was asked of this group is, if you did receive it from someone else, why do you boast as if you did not? Three really good questions that could be asked of any group, anytime, anywhere, where this organization or an organization has become fractured. But these questions that I just read to you were asked by the Apostle Paul to a group of men in a place called Corinth. And the questions were asked 55 years after the death of Jesus Christ. See, Paul saw that in that church, in that city, among the group of leaders there, that they had become fractured because they were following men. They were talking about who the best leader was. They were talking about who the best personality was. They were talking about who their favorite was. And so these men were fighting over who was the best. Look around the world today, and I think organizations and groups and countries are fractured like that, aren't they? Fighting about who's the best, maybe a political party or team or whatever it happens to be. So they were fighting over, essentially over, who was the best in their mind, and they were judging others because of it. And so Paul said to these guys, I want you to take a break here and think about what you're doing. Think about what is going on there in Corinth. And so that leads us to those questions. They're found in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. The first question he asks is this: for what gives you the right to make such a judgment? Either men there in Corinth had declared themselves to be judges, given no authority by anyone, not through the church, not by Christ himself. They had set themselves up as judges and juries of what was going on in the city there, particularly in the church that they were a part of. And so without qualifications and puffed up with pridefulness, they began to judge. And their opinions became more important than anything else and anyone else and any mission that they had been given. So their pride made the church weak. Their pride made the church ineffective. And their pride made that church sick. Someone once wrote this about pride. Pride's the only disease known to man that makes everyone sick except for the person that has it. That's true, isn't it? It's a result of pride. It's what pride does. It makes organizations sick. Churches sick. Businesses sick. Families sick because of pride. So Paul says to these people, stop. Stop what you're doing and think about this for a minute. You're judging, they were judging him. You're judging me, you're judging others. And so he said, why are you doing this? To what aim, to what goal? What is it benefiting you? So now watch what Paul does. This is fantastic. He says, what do you have that you didn't receive? What do you have that hasn't been given to you? It's a great question, isn't it? So, in their arrogance, they had forgotten the source of everything. What does anyone really have that has not been given to them? Your life, the care that you received as an infant, where you live, the home you lived in, the education you received, your IQ. What do you have that has not been given to you These things don't come from ourselves. They come from someone outside, right? And they come to us through the providence of God, blessing us with whatever we have. And so these people had forgotten that everything that they had was not from them. It was from God. So that takes us back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Here's the question again. What do you have that God has not given you, men? And if everything is from God, why do you boast as though it was not? See, sometimes I think, men, we need to have a little bit of reality check, don't we? We need to get over ourselves sometimes because we think we're more important than we are. And self-importance is an issue, isn't it? Self-importance leads to pride. And so Paul says, you're not that special. Everything that you have has come to you from the one who is special. Winston Churchill tells this story one time, and I love it. We said to somebody, Winston Churchill, doesn't it thrill you to know that every single time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing? And Winston Churchill says, yeah, it's quite flattering. But whenever I feel that way, I remember that if instead of giving a political speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big. Now, that'll humble you, won't it, guys? I think he had a good perspective on humility. But always remember where our gifts come from. Look, sometimes we struggle with this issue of self-awareness, don't we? We look at ourselves and think that we are more important than we really are. And because of that, it makes us do things that are not helpful to those around us, not helpful to the organizations that we lead, not helpful to our families, not helpful to institutions like church and this organization. And we become arrogant. And when we say that I'm in it for me, it's a problem for organizations. When everyone's is first and foremost pulling for themselves, or his favorite group, like they were in Corinth, fellowship is fractured. Harmony is hindered, and what happens? Leaders lose their influence. Here at Friday Morning Miss Fellowship, we are about helping men to be great leaders who have influence over the environments they're in. And when we allow ourselves to fall into the sin of pride, we lose our influence. We lose our opportunity to speak into the lives of other men because they look at us and they say, that is not a guy that I want to align myself with. He's not a worthy leader. So we need to fight this obstacle of pride. Well, the church there at Corinth, it was losing its influence. The leadership there had fallen into pride, and so Paul, who cared deeply for these men, intervened. He wanted them to be highly successful. And so he said to them, why do you think you're so special? Everything you have has been given to you, so stop acting like the fools that you are and get back to work. I paraphrased that. But that's what he was saying, essentially, wasn't he? I was reading an article from the Harvard Business Review not too long ago. This is the title. The title of it, it said, Three Skills That Every Leader Needs. Three skills every leader needs. This is from 2002, so this is current article. Number one, adaptability. Number two, the ability to contextualize problem solving. And what do you think number three was? Humility. Absolutely. Big three that every leader needs to be a man who is humble. Humble. Well, I think men often attempt to elevate themselves over others like Muhammad Ali did, to put others down, and to put them in their place, and I'm sure you've heard this axiom, pride must boast. Pride must boast. It's true, isn't it? You look at prideful people and they're always talking about who? Themselves. Their accomplishments, their abilities, which is not a good thing, is it, man? For good leaders, pride must not brag, and we must not be prideful men, because God's word says this. In James, you'll recognize it. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you, what? Up. Humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. No need to try to lift ourselves up. So our key takeaway today is this, men. Great leaders are self-aware. They are constantly examining themselves and battling pride and embracing and elevating humility. Will you pray with me this morning? Father, we just thank you for the lessons that the Apostle Paul taught to us in this series called Stand Firm. We're looking at one after another, Father. Help us to be men who fight against the sin of pride and are humble, because we know that when we do that, you lift us up, and ultimately you're glorified in the things that we do, and we just thank you for that. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Well, as you break out your tables, I hope that you'll use the discussion guide that we prepare for you to have a really great discussion. Have a great morning, guys.